This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I'd like to call to order the Senate State Affairs. And with that, I'd like to greet all of the folks that are joining us online. And I'd also like to welcome the guests that have taken the time to be here in person. I would like at this time for the pages to come up and introduce yourselves. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and where you might be headed.
Good morning, Senators. My name is Sequoia Altamirano, and I am a senior at Chamberlain High School. In the upcoming fall, I will be attending the University of Minnesota and majoring in political science.
Hi, my name is Katherine Mickelson. I'm a junior at Lincoln High School, and I'm currently thinking about majoring in political science.
Thank you for that. And at this time, I'd like to remind folks to make sure that you have your cell phones on silent. And with that, we'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Duhamel.
Here.
Crabtree.
Here.
Duvall.
Here.
Shanefish.
Here.
Roll.
Excused.
Heinert.
Here.
Diedrich.
Here.
Kamak.
Here.
We have 8 of 9. We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. With that, I would entertain a motion for approval of the minutes last meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Duvall, seconded by Heinert. Or no? Okay, of Crabtree. Seconded by Crabtree. All those in favor, aye.
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 Those opposed? The minutes are approved. At this time, I'd like to remind folks that if you're planning on testifying, make sure that you sign in at the podium in the back of the room. Make sure you sign in legibly. And I would also remind you that any handouts you might have, make sure that you use very able pages to accomplish that. And any questions to come before the committee will be addressed through the chair. At this time, we'll begin the consideration of the bills that we have on our agenda. The first one that we have up is HCR 604, and that's celebrating the LGBTQ plus and Two-Spirit community in South Dakota. Welcome, Senator Nezuba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, fellow senators and staff. I am Reynold Nezuba, representing District 15 from Sioux Falls, in the north end of downtown of Sioux Falls. My preferred pronouns are he and him and his. You might remember that SCR 604 that I'm bringing you today began its life as a commemoration. So it was SC 801 celebrating the LGBTQ plus Two-Spirit community in South Dakota. Senator Wick found it, he said in a news story afterwards, it was inappropriate for a commemoration. He objected to it. So I'm following his suggestion, and I've brought it back to you as a resolution, as SCR 604. So the initial draft, as I said, was written to be as a commemoration. And for me, the core of it really was lines 11 through 14. I was just really trying to commend all of the organizations that are working for these communities and, you know, across the entire state of South Dakota. And in that third paragraph, I tried to be purposely vague by simply commending the leadership from all of these organizations. But last Monday, when we had Valentine's Day and we had lunch from Equality South Dakota and a variety of these groups across the state, just last Monday in the rotunda, we had groups from Equality South Dakota, Watertown Love, Sioux Falls Pride, the Black Hills Center for Equality, the Peer Area Center for Equality, and Uniting Resilience, which is also from Rapid City. These are examples of the kinds of groups we're referring to in that third paragraph. And as the resolution notes, these volunteer-led organizations are working to ensure that South Dakotans, including our legislature and leaders across the state, are aware of and educated about issues facing LGBTQ plus Two-Spirit South Dakotans, their families. And they're also just providing a sense of support and a sense of community for folks across the entire state. So please, I'm asking your support for this resolution as a concrete way to demonstrate to our state that all people are welcome in South Dakota, that we are continuing to seek liberty and justice for all, as we say every day in the Pledge of Allegiance on our Senate floor, and that we demonstrate that by giving your favorable consideration for SCR 604. There's a number of folks who want to testify, I think, both in the room and online, so I'll limit my comments, but stand by to answer questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We're going to take proponent testimony on HCR 604. First, we're going to take the folks that are in the room. Any proponents for HCR 604 that are in the room?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sam Nelson. I'm a registered lobbyist for South Dakotans for Equity. It's an umbrella group that represents transgenders, gay, straights, LGBTQ folks, and the families and friends that are supportive of those individuals. We appreciate the bringing of the resolution. If you look at the body of it, 25,000 people thereabouts in this state identify as some type of LGBTQ plus or two-spirit community individual. That's a town the size of Brookings, and I know that there are often divisive issues in the legislature. There are issues that we talk about and hard decisions you folks have to make that are uncomfortable. I think that this resolution recognizes the members of these communities as always having been tactful, respectful, and dignified in their presentation before you and in their participation in society here in the state of South Dakota. So I think it's appropriate to recognize the strides that these folks have made and that they're doing so in a manner that's just asking that we all treat each other with dignity and respect. And so we'd ask you to vote in favor of the resolution. Be happy to answer any questions you have. Thank you.
Any further in-room proponent testimony? Any further in-room proponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll move on to proponent testimony online. Is there a Lawrence? Is that Lorraine? Lawrence. Is there a Lawrence Novotny online?
Yes, Senator Kamak. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. If you would state your name and give your.
Lawrence Novotny from Brookings.
Okay, and go ahead with your testimony, proponent testimony.
Welcome, members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. My name is Lawrence Novotny, and I'm a member of the Brookings Human Rights Commission. The commission strongly approves SCR 604. Recently, Dakota News Now reported that 90% of South Dakotans who identify as LGBTQ experienced depression as a result of the actions of state government. I want to inform you about an action Brookings City Government took and its positive outcomes. In the fall of 2017, the Brookings City Council passed an ordinance that bans discrimination against the LGBTQ citizens based upon employment, housing, and public accommodations. Members of the LGBTQ community breathed a sigh of relief knowing their access to jobs and housing were now protected from such discrimination. The city government's adoption of this positive ordinance helped the local LGBTQ community know they are welcome and stimulated other positive events that reinforced that message. For example, in 2018, the Human Rights Campaign awarded Brookings its first ever perfect 100 MEI score, the only city in South Dakota to receive such recognition. I am aware of several people who have moved to Brookings because of the ordinance and the MEI score. We now have four gender and sexuality alliance groups that provide support to students at SDSU, the high school, the middle school, and the Boys and Girls Club. Brookings has a chapter of PFRAG, a national organization which is providing support for parents, families, and allies of LGBTQ children. People had to be turned away from Brookings' first Pride event because attendance exceeded the capacity of the venue. SCR 604 is a positive statement of support for the state's LGBTQ and two-spirit community. Adoption of the resolution would send a strong, needed message to the community and would have positive ripple effects across the state. Please vote yes on SCR 604. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll move on to April Carrillo. Do you have proponent testimony?
Hello, it's just fine. No worries. It's Spanish, so I appreciate it. Hello. Thank you for hearing us today. So my name is April Carrillo. I use the pronouns she, her, hers. Carrillo is just fine. I'm here on behalf of Equality South Dakota to support SCR 604. In the face of anti-LGBTQ sentiment in this very state, it's very vital that LGBTQ and Two-Spirit South Dakotans see that we acknowledge them and their contributions to our history and our future. Despite the many uphill battles that LGBTQ people and Two-Spirit people have to face, they are still our neighbors, our friends, and our children. As previously noted, these issues surrounding LGBTQ and Two-Spirit folks can be divisive, but we cannot forget their humanity. If our intention is to truly be a place with great faces, then we must include all people. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And Jack Fonder? Do you have some proponent testimony?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jack Fonder. My pronouns are he, him, and his. I live in Hartford, South Dakota. I do volunteer with the Transformation Project, SD. I come before you today as a private citizen to ask you to vote in favor of the SCR 604. I am a member of the LGBTQ plus and Two-Spirit community, and I have always been supported as an LGBTQ plus and Two-Spirit individual by my employer. Feeling supported and having a sense of belonging in the workplace is very important for everyone, and knowing that I have that with my employer makes it a great place to come to work every day. I also helped to co-found the Pride Network at its Sioux Falls, South Dakota location, which is there to help support the community as well as to educate employees. We do work to volunteer our time and efforts to help with the community as well. In addition to that, I'm also on the board of directors for the Transformation Project SD to help educate and advocate for the rights of our transgender youth and young people. I would like to ask for you to please recognize the work our community is doing in businesses as well as nonprofits to make the life better for LGBTQ plus and Two-Spirit South Dakotans. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further proponent testimony? Cody Engel?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee. My name is Cody Engel. I am from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I sit on the board of directors for Sioux Falls Pride, which is one of the largest Pride organizations in the state. I am coming to you today as a private citizen to ask that you please support SCR 604. The LGBTQ plus and Two-Spirit community is a resilient community that has undergone many forms of discrimination throughout history. And while we are on a better path forward toward full equity and inclusion for our community, there still lies discrimination and there still lies things that happen that feel as though our community is being marginalized or forgotten. And with Sioux Falls Pride, we host a festival that draws in a crowd of nearly 12 to 15,000 people here in Sioux Falls. We also have a parade that has allowed the community and its allies to gather together to really support the community. And so to have that support from the legislature as well would be a huge step forward, with recent statistics coming out about the amount of mental health that exists within the community. It would be of benefit for us to be able to hear from our legislature that they do support us. I thank you so much for your time today, and again, ask you to support SCR 604. Thank you.
Is there any further online testimony, proponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll move it on to opponent testimony. Is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we will waive the sponsor's rebuttal, and we'll move it back to the committee for any questions. Seeing none, we will, no questions, we'll open it up to committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schoenbeck.
I would move SCR 604 to the 41st day.
Second. It's been moved by Senator Schoenbeck to move HCR 604 to the 41st day, and seconded by Senator Crabtree. Any further comments? Senator Heinert.
Well, I would just thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just urge the committee to resist this motion. I mean, what does this really hurt? showing some solidarity with some people who may be a little bit different from us. Is that a bad thing?
Any further discussion or comments? Seeing none, the motion by Senator Schoenbeck and seconded by Senator Crabtree is move HCR 604 to the 41st day. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Duhamel?
Aye.
Crabtree?
Aye.
Duval?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Roll? Excused. Heinert?
No.
Diedrich?
Excuse me.
Kamak?
Aye. Aye.
We have six yeas, one nay, two excused.
6A, 1 nay, and 2 excused. With that, HCR 604 will be sent to the 41st day. We'll move on to House HB 1041, facilitate legislative oversight for the settlement agreements involving a state entity or official. Anyone here to represent that bill? With that, we're going to we'll be at ease for a moment. We are going to consider House Bill 1041, facilitate legislative oversight of settlement agreements involving a state entity or official. Welcome, Senator Nesbitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and sorry for the confusion there. I think with Representatives Otten's illness that we just lost track of this entirely, so I thought that somebody else from the House was coming to talk about this. So this is a bill that really came out of our conversation of GOAC, as Senator...
Senator, would you state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. So I am State Senator Reynold Nesebo from District 15 in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, representing downtown and the North End. During our GOAC discussion in the interim, what we found was that there had been an agreement. There was, as you know, a disruption in our appraiser certification program. The Sherry Brin had been removed. The state had entered into an agreement. We paid out over $200,000 in that particular settlement. And what came out of that was a discussion of saying this was really problematic to not understand, to be able to understand that particular contract. And that's what this bill is trying to get at, is to make sure that the state, under particular conditions as stated in the bill, make it clear under what conditions that sort of contract, where we can actually find out what happened, to try and avoid. I'm looking for a particular word, Mr. Chair, and I can't find that particular word. Where we have this contract where there's a disparagement clause, that's the word I'm looking for, to make sure that in those, that the state would have oversight over those particular agreements so we can find out what happened. So, and I'm sure that's what led good Representative Otten to bring that forward. So, thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is David Wiest. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the South Dakota Department of Revenue, and here to talk about 1041 and primarily, probably solely, to talk about Section 1 of the bill. and so I wanted to visit with the committee. As we know, the Department of Revenue is the main collector of taxes in the state of South Dakota. We collect the sales and use tax, the contractor's excise tax, the fuel tax. And we possess a lot of taxpayer information, and that taxpayer information is confidential. We have returns and applications and payments and so forth, and we guard that information very closely, as we should, and we know we should do that. And we have a series of confidentiality statutes in Title 10 where our taxing statutes live as well. And as we all know, our system in the department or in the state of South Dakota for these taxes is a voluntary compliance system. And what that means in English, I guess, for a non-tax person is that we trust the retailers that need to file a return and remit sales tax to us to do so. We trust a contractor who needs to remit contractor's excise tax to file a return and to do so. And we need to have their trust so when they provide us information, that information is held confidential. And one of the things that we think about and worry about in the tax world is that if we don't have strict confidentiality rules, no one's going to want to file any returns, remit any taxes, and so on and so forth, and that is concerning. So if we look at Section 1 of the bill, that's really why I'm here today. It talks about settlement agreement, and it doesn't really define it, and it can be, I suppose, quite broad. Often in the Department of Revenue, we memorialize points of view or things like that in an agreement form, and we wonder, is that a settlement agreement? And that's one of our concerns with the Section 1 of the bill. And we have some examples of some settlement agreements that are confidential under our current law. For example, what happens if you're a taxpayer and you fell behind a little bit and the Department of Revenue works with that taxpayer and says, okay, life happens, you're in the hospital for whatever reason, you're back working now, let's put you on a payment plan with your business. Instead of closing you down, let's put you on a payment plan so you can go ahead and get caught up. So we put those in writing so taxpayer has expectations and we have expectations. Now, is that something that is a settlement agreement that's subject to Section 1 of the bill? And that's our concern. And we do other things as well, such as assessments. Sometimes we haggle back and forth with taxpayers on an assessment and we get it figured out and worked out like we should. And those are also memorialized. So is that a settlement agreement that is subject to the bill? And that's really our concern with Section 1 of the bill, disclosing that information that is confidential today to the Legislative Research Council and to GOAC. The Department of Revenue is also an employer. We have employees, and sometimes we've got 245 to 250 employees, and they work very hard, but sometimes you have an employee that isn't quite doing things correctly. So we work with them and say, okay, we're going to have this work improvement plan where we want you to do certain things to try to, you know, get back caught up on being a good employee and so forth. Now, would that be something that would be a settlement agreement? So that's our concern, is that Section 1 of the bill is quite broad, and when we look at our Department of Revenue confidentiality statutes, we really and truly question how they interwork and mesh together. And that's the concern we have with Section 1 of the bill. Settlement agreement is very broad, and respectfully, I'm not here to talk about, as I said, Section 2 one way or the other, but that's the deep concern I have with Section 1. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for your time.
Thank you. Is there any further opponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bill Nevin. I'm appearing on behalf of the Department of Transportation. The Department of Transportation has great concerns as well with Section 1 of this bill. It would require a copy of any settlement agreement entered into by the state to be provided to the Executive Board of the Legislative Research Council and the Government Operations and Audit Committee within 30 days after the date of execution of that agreement. The state, through the Department of Transportation, enters into literally thousands of settlement agreements each year, including right-of-way acquisitions, permanent easements, temporary construction easements, wetlands mitigation easements, construction claims agreements that are not resolved through the construction claims panel process, negotiated work orders, etc. Under the rules of statutory construction, words used in a statute are to be understood in their ordinary sense unless a different meaning is provided. No different definition of the term settlement agreement is provided. Therefore, interpreting that term in the ordinary sense of the words used, any agreement negotiated and entered into by the state that finally resolved an issue with another party would be a settlement agreement. Given that language, it appears that House Bill 1041 would encompass those thousands of agreements. Project-related agreements, such as the row acquisition, temporary construction easements, permanent easements, wetland easements, all involve a claim for just compensation by the property owner. And a negotiated settlement agreement is usually reached to conclude DOT's acquisition of that needed property interest. Each of those agreements normally includes multiple pages. These are not simply purchase agreements between two willing parties. They are, in every respect, a settlement agreement governed by the Relocation Assistance and Real Property Acquisitions Policy Act of 1970. In addition to those project-related agreements, DOT enters into many non-project-related agreements that might involve negotiated terms. For example, with federal agencies such as the Army Corps of Engineers, the Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, as well as tribal agencies, as well as with local governing bodies and private parties for swaps, transfers, proposed project-related items such as renting a stockpile site in connection with the project, agreements for maintenance, purchase of borrowed material, and so forth. It isn't uncommon for the Department of Transportation, often as a result of the completion of new construction projects, to come ask you folks to remove a segment of highway from the state highway system after we've negotiated an agreement to transfer jurisdiction to a local government entity. It isn't clear whether the requirements of this bill would also apply to those agreements. Under this bill, without a further clarification of settlement agreements, DOT could be required to provide copies of every one of our project-related agreements and perhaps as well some of our non-project agreements to the Executive Board and the GOAC, thus incurring substantially significant additional staff time and expense to comply. This bill would create a rather burdensome process with the potential for unintended consequences. The review of these thousands of settlement agreements for informational purposes is likely not the intent, but it is arguably the result of this existing language. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, we would respectfully urge the committee to defer House Bill 1041 to the 41st legislative day. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further opponent testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Kirsten Jasper with the Bureau of Administration. I am also here in opposition of 1041. My comments are also with regard to Section 1 of that particular bill. I'll start kind of where Mr. Nevin left off, there would be some unintended consequences to this bill. There are many agreements that the Office of Risk Management enters into on behalf of BOA with regard to state motor vehicle accidents, rock chips, things like that. Those settlement agreements then would come within Section 1 and have to be forwarded on a monthly basis to those two committees, and that would be numerous agreements that the state enters into with that regard every year. So the unintended consequences would be an inundation of those two entities with more settlement agreements than they intended to have with the coverage or as intended with the written, as this bill was written. Next, I'd like to touch on the fact that this bill does not change law as it exists. Currently, according to SDCL 127.1.23, settlement agreements are already public that the state enters into in civil actions. As several members of this committee are aware, what BOA does during their annual budget hearing, as well as when asked by other committees, such as Senate Judiciary this year, the risk management puts together a list of the open cases and closed cases for the Extraordinary Litigation Fund, which is the fund that covers civil litigation involving the state. And the information with regard to the cases in that is provided both to the Appropriations Committee and any other committee that requests that information. It was presented this year to Senate Judiciary. It was presented as well to Joint Appropriations during our budget hearing and is made available online through LRC. That information lists a summary of what the cases, the open cases, are about. It provides a summary of what the litigation is about. And when those cases are closed, it also provides the total expenses paid on each of those cases. So the information that's requested has already been made available to the legislature when asked with regard to the Extraordinary Litigation Fund. With that, BOA then would also oppose 1041, and I will stand by for further questions.
Thank you for that testimony. Any further opponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deb Mortensen, representing the building chapter and the highway heavy utility chapter of the Associated General Contractors. And we, too, are here to express our concerns about Section 1 of this bill and ask that you do defer it to the 41st legislative day. You've heard much of my testimony already, so I'm not going to clog up the stand here a bit. But Mr. Nevin talked about the types of claims that typically get negotiated between contractors and DOT, and we feel that that process is smooth. It works very well. Over the decades, it's been perfected, and we appreciate that. Most of that information would not be considered proprietary, so that's not our concern, and we just don't understand the benefit to having this release, to having it being available. Our fear is that it may have a chilling effect on the claims process, and contractors may not be as willing to do that if everything is thrown open to public scrutiny. So we would encourage you to defeat the bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any further opponent testimony on House Bill 1041? Any further opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll move it back to the sponsor, if you'd like rebuttal.
Mr. Chair, Reynold Nesseba, District 15. The opponents have made some strong arguments, and I think that there is a solution, and the solution actually is an amendment that's been brought forward here by Senator Schoenbeck, and I think it really does address that problem. May I speak to the amendment, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chairman, could I move the amendment?
Let's move the amendment, yes.
I would move Amendment 1041A.
Second. It's been moved. Senator Schoenbeck has moved 1041A, and it's seconded by Senator Heinert. Comments on your motion?
Mr. Chairman, I think this will fix the principal concern people have with this bill.
Okay. Right.
And Mr. Chair, I would just follow up with that. For those who might be listening online or sitting in the audience, what this does is it does not disclose the agreement, which was all of the complaints were really about disclosing any of the agreements were made. Instead, what this amendment does is simply says a non-disparagement clause is unenforceable with respect limited here to the facts. So the non-disparagement clause is void and unenforceable for disclosure of facts to the Executive Board or to GOAC.
Thank you for that. Any further comments on the motion? Seeing no further comments on the motion, all those in favor of the 141A will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 1041 is hereby amended. With that, we'll move it back to the committee for questions. Anyone have any questions? Seeing no questions, we will open it up to the committee for discussion and or action.
I would move to pass on HB 1041.
Senator Shane Fish has moved to pass on House Bill 1041 as amended, and it's seconded by Senator Duvall. You have any comments on your motion?
Yeah, no, I think this will be good to, when these committees are looking for information. And I don't think, we want any disparaging comments or anything made in these committees, but if there's some hesitancy to maybe disclosing some information because of those clauses, this will allow these people to speak more freely, and I think that's important to find information.
Thank you for that. Any further comments? So the motion that's before us is due pass on HB 1041. The secretary will call the roll. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no.
Senators Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Duhamel?
Aye.
Crabtree?
Aye.
Duval?
Aye.
Chainfish?
Aye.
Roll?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
There are 9 yeas, 0 nays. The House Bill 1041 will go on to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Consent calendar?
No. There was opposition. Okay. With that, we will move on to House Bill 1077, require certain language for the oath or affirmation affirmation for civil office.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Representative Tina Mullally from District 35, Pennington County. I bring for today House Bill 1077 as it's basically a cleanup bill just to clarify that anyone that's elected by the people should have a oath of office that is nearly identical to the oath that is in Article 3, Subsection 8.
Okay. Any further comments? Okay. With that, any further proponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll waive the sponsor's rebuttal, and we will move on to the committee. Is there any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm reading out of our Constitution the oath that we all take. But I don't know what the oath is. Is there a current oath for school board members?
There's no specific oath, Mr. Chair. There's no specific oath. The Association of School Boards did come forth with opposition in the House Committee of Local Government, citing Section 13.8.14. And we deferred the bill. We went with the opposition and went and discussed it, and we came up with a solution of adding in 13.8.14 as provided in subsection 315 as to the amendment that I'm bringing forward. And they were perfectly fine with it, went through House Local Government on consent, and came out of House floor on consent.
Any further questions?
Yeah, I have a further question.
Go ahead.
I'm still reading our state constitution and the oath that takes in there. It also says in there that any member or officer of the legislature who shall refuse to take the oath shall forfeit his office. Is that intended to be included in your proposed bill?
Mr. Chair, if you read line 8 of House Bill 1077, it says nearly identical. So if a particular office does not, there are certain offices in our state that do not take this constitutional oath, like a judge has to take a special oath and like that. So that's why we put in nearly identical, so that for each office, we're just trying to make sure that anyone that's elected by the people are assured that the oath of office is very similar to what is in our state constitution. So if a school board would prefer to remove part of the oath to fit their
or, you know, it says nearly identical. So we were hoping that that would be sufficient for some of the offices that may think it's a long oath of office.
Any further questions?
I just have one more. And I hadn't looked at the school board statutes, but is there an oath required for a school board member, or is that a local decision that the school board makes?
According to the Association of School Board Members, thank you, Mr. Chair, my apologies. According to this association, they refer to subsection 13.8.14 as what they require as an oath of office. There's no specific oath of office in the school boards.
Any further questions? Seeing none, we will close public testimony. Thank you. And we'll move it back to the committee for any discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schoenbeck.
I move to table HB 1077.
It's been moved to table HB 1077. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Crabtree. Tabling motion allows for no discussion. And with that, the secretary will call a roll.
Senators Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Duhamel?
Aye.
Crabtree?
Aye.
Duval?
Aye.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Roll?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Nine yeas, zero nays
to on the motion to table. HB 1077 is officially tabled. With that, we'll move on to HB 1196 to designate the Dakota flute as the official indigenous musical instrument of South Dakota.
Mr. Chair, I just texted Tamara. She was taking another vote.
So. Okay, we'll be at ease for a moment. It's that time of year. The Senate State Affairs will come back to order. At this time, we will consider HB 1196, designate the Dakota flute as the official indigenous musical instrument of South Dakota. Welcome, Representative St. John.
Good morning, Representative St. John, District 1, and good morning, committee. The bill for the... there is an amendment, and I'd like to have that moved.
Mr. Chair, I'd move 1196A.
It's been moved by Senator Roll.
Second.
And seconded by Senator Duval. And the amendment is 1196A. Okay. Do you wish to speak to the bill and the amendment?
Sure. The amendment is just addressing the flute. It strikes out the word Dakota and acknowledges it as a traditional flute. And we feel that would be more appropriate, and I'll explain that in the testimony. Thank you.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to amend House Bill 1196. Any further comments? Seeing none, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? House Bill 1196 is hereby amended.
Thank you very much. This bill originated with an artist, a hoop dancer, and a flute player by the name of Kevin Locke. And Kevin Locke was invited here to perform. He was down in the Rotunda this year. He's very well known. And it's also supported by an artist by the name of Brian Akipa, who is available to testify by phone. But I'm a little concerned about time on this. The decision to change it to indigenous or traditional flute, the main point of this is that the traditional flute is has a specific tuning that goes back many, many, many years. Now, across America, there is something that's known loosely as the Native American flute that has a tuning that actually originates in 1980, and it is of a Japanese type of an origin. So the New Age flute is not reflective of the traditional tuning and the traditional flute that exists here in is familiar to the tribes in this region. The Dakota, Lakota, Meskwaki, Ho-Chunk, and Potawatomi also use the indigenous flute, and it was our feeling that it is a good, neutral, and all-inclusive term. There are, of course, Dakota words that the different tribes use to describe the flute, but we would like to present this and in the acknowledgement of this as the official indigenous musical instrument of South Dakota. There are, for example, artist Brian Akipa has been working with the Lakota Symphony, and it's a good way to elevate the flute itself, the traditional flute, as a musical instrument in how it's being utilized now, and allow for the protection of that traditional understanding of the flute and to preserve that understanding for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? There's someone behind you.
You want to see if you can. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Mark Garcia. I'm a policy analyst with the Department of Tribal Relations. Mm-hmm. DTR does support this bill, and we reiterate the comments made by the representative, and we urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony. Any opponent testimony for House Bill 1077? Seeing none, we'll waive the sponsor's rebuttal, and we'll move it back to the committee for any questions. Does the committee have any questions? Seeing none, we will open it up to committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roll.
I would move due pass for House Bill 1196 as amended.
It's been moved by Senator Roll, due pass on House Bill 1072, and seconded by Senator Dietrich. Any comments on your motion?
I think the comments from the prime sponsor kind of hit it where it needs to be.
Okay. Any further comments? Senator Heinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I appreciate the sponsor bringing this bill forward in conversation with her. I really appreciate the amendment. I think it also encompasses the Lakota, who are a big part of the Ocheti Shakoni. So I appreciate those efforts made by that. I do know Mr. Akipa and Mr. Locke. They're both very talented individuals that represent our state and their tribes very well across the world. So I urge support of this bill. Wopla Tonka.
Any further comments or discussion? Seeing none, the motion before us is due pass on House Bill 1077 as amended. 96. I'm sorry, 1196. On House Bill 1196 as amended. And with that, the secretary will call the roll.
Senator Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Duhamel?
Aye.
Crabtree?
Aye.
Duval?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Roll?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
We have 9 yeas, 0 nays.
We have...
Can we mark that as consent?
Is consent acceptable?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. House Bill 1196 as amended. We'll move on to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the chairman will certify it for and to go on the consent calendar. And with that, I believe we have completed our business. So motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Rolls. Second by Senator Shane Fish. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, we're adjourned.